Welcome to the Soul Lounge. The Soul Lounge is now open, and here's your host, the Lady DJ.
So one of my favorite relationships is the one between soul and jazz. You know, when these two get together, something magical happens. And later on today, you are going to hear exactly what I mean when we move to the VIP lounge for a special interview and performance with Aquia Aldrich, an artist who grew up in a house full of jazz music in an era where hip-hop, soul, and R&B reigned supreme on the streets. Now, what she has been able to create out of those influences sounds so good. I can't wait to share that with you. But first, we're going to hear from a few other artists who have done something similar. Each one has discovered a unique blend of soul, R&B, and jazz. Let's start off with a young bassist. She's a cellist and a singer who says watching cellist Yo-Yo Ma on Sesame Street inspired her to explore different forms of music. In 2011, she became the first jazz artist to take home the Best New Artist Grammy. And in 2012, her album Radio Music Society earned her a Grammy for Best Jazz Vocal Album. So from that project, here is Esperanza Spalding with Black Gold featuring Aljaba Blessette and Lionel Luecki inside the Soul Lounge.
Hold your head as high as you can, high enough to see who you are, little man. Life sometimes is cold and cruel, maybe no one else will tell you, so remember that you are.
Within you, ancient men, powerful men, builders of civilization.
music is the language of the soul.
Troubling me, we got to try and figure out some kind of way to go that we know. Troubling meet me every time I step around the way of dangers flow. So we can let it go. Say, I need someone like you to understand my heart, babe, and my soul.
The song is called Trouble. The artist Jose James, who combines jazz, a little hip-hop, soul, some drum and bass too in some of his work. He has been called the jazz singer for the hip-hop generation. Now, his aesthetic is unquestionably hip-hop. His movements, his physical presence on stage definitely reflects his New York upbringing. And I'm telling you, if you like that song, you want to check out his album. It's called No Beginning, No End, again, Jose James. Now, while Jose gives us hip-hop inspired jazz, this next artist, the late Guru, was instrumental in creating jazz inspired hip-hop. Now, his 1993 album, Jazzmatazz, was unlike anything we had heard before. He called it an experimental fusion of the two genres and called upon some of the best musicians like Branford Marsalis, Roy Ayers, vocalists like Carlene Anderson and Dia Davenport all together to create the sound that would really eventually come to define his career. Sadly, Guru passed away in 2010, but he left behind a great collection of music. From his Jazzmatazz album, this is Trust Me inside the Soul Lounge.
Just me, just me, love you. It's not just an act that I care. So please let me share special moments. Moments so rare. Check it out. If I could give you the world, you know I'd do it. Everything at your feet. And nothing to it. But it's hard, sweetheart. And it's rough out here. But I doubt there is anybody else for me.
Just me.
Sex appeal, mad chicks sweat me, but I desire your womanness. Dude sweat you, but I'm the best. Listen, we could build a future together. No, darling, I would never soup you up, never. I'm bugging out over the thought of you leaving. Tried to step for you, but now you're retreating.
Just me.
Inside the Soul Lounge.
Reminiscing about the way things were, whispering secrets.
So that was music from Fertile Ground, Sentimental Groove, which you can find on their debut album, Field Songs, even though the group is no longer together. Navasha Dia, the lead singer, is doing some incredible stuff as a solo artist. In fact, she took some time out of her busy schedule to visit us inside the Soul Lounge VIP room. If you go to voanews.com, you can find some of the footage there. And with that, it is time now for Strong in the City, our weekly segment with Nikki Strong as she travels all around the city, the country, and the world looking for new and interesting cultural tidbits to share with us. Hey, Nikki.
Hi, Shauna.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm excited for what we're going to talk about today.
Well, we're talking about what I think I can safely say is probably one of my favorite television shows.
Really? Of all time?
And of the last season.
Okay.
And
more than Scandal?
You know, it was hard.
Wow.
It was hard,
okay.
You know what I mean? I don't watch a lot of television,
okay.
So it was like, you know, I could either do one or the other. I would
yes.
do one online, I would do one
yes.
on. So
sure,
anyway,
sure.
It's up there, definitely up there. But we're talking about Empire.
Yes.
Which here in the States
yes.
is going to start this week, as a matter of fact. But it has expanded so far beyond
yes.
Us and
yes.
is now international.
Yes, it's a big splash in the UK in particular. So it's interesting. Taraji had made an announcement. She says she wants to thank everybody in the UK that illegally streamed it because it developed so much interest in the UK. And when the first season aired in April, it sparked a lot of the conversation that has happened in the States when it comes to diversity on TV and expanding the representation and the range of the representation of people of color. And a lot of conversations have resulted as far as addressing that same issue in the UK as a result of Empire being such a huge hit. It's a huge hit in the UK. About 40% of the audience isn't even black who are watching it. So people are excited. I think as much hype as we have here about it, season two airing, it is matched there. But in the UK, it's actually going to air starting October the 6th.
And that would be season two.
Season two.
We're going into season two. Now, I think it's important to mention for people who may not be familiar with the show that it has a predominantly African-American cast. It tells the story of a man and his family who build this musical
empire.
And that's where they get the name. So it's a story that we've seen in real life in some regards. We saw it with Motown Records.
Yeah, it's a little
we
bit of Motown. Yes.
With Bad Boy Records.
It's a little bit of Bad
Puffy.
Boy, too.
So, you know, so it borrows a lot from the reality in the music industry, and which is, I think, part of the reason why it resonated with so many of us here. In addition to the fact, I think, that it has great music. Timbaland is one of the main producers and songwriters, and I know they released the soundtrack. It did very well. One of the only television shows to actually have songs from the show played on the radio.
And on iTunes, like just selling on iTunes up the wazoo. So it's been great. It's also like the first TV show in almost 30 years to see a rise in viewers after each of its first five episodes. So week to week, they were getting an increase in viewers. I know for the second episode, Lee Daniels said Oprah is not going to be in it.
Okay.
We'll see if he's teasing us, you know, playing us. Also, Alicia Keys will be on it. Neo. Neo's also working on music for the show. Lenny Kravitz. Chris Rock will be on it. Now, Chris Rock is going to be playing Lucius Lyons, a cellmate, and apparently he also engages in cannibalism.
Oh, interesting.
He wanted to do something that was cool and twisted, and so I understand there's a scene of him rummaging through, like, body parts. Pretty gross. And I heard that they did not want that scene in there, but Lee Daniels decided to stick with it.
All right. And there'll be plenty of musical artists as well. Mary J. Blige has been on it. Anthony Hamilton.
So many folks.
I think Alicia Keys, Snoop Dogg,
Estelle.
So if you're a music fan and you can get it one way or another, get it. And of course,
if you can get it one way or the other.
The music, not that we are advocating doing anything illegal.
We're not.
The music, though, is wonderful. And you can always hear the music on Soul Lounge. We play, as a matter of fact, there's a new song with Jessie Smollett, who is one of the main characters in Pitbull. So we'll just hear a bit of that as well in just a few. But thank you so much, Nikki. Don't move, because on the other side, we are going to take the party into the VIP room. Aquia Aldridge is going to join us for an interview and performance inside the Soul Lounge.
Mr. Worldwide, reporting live from the Empire. Jamal, let's show them how to get off the chain, off the glass, off the flip, off the rib. Let's ride.
All we want is a party. Have some shots with somebody. Take the music and turn it all the way.
From the ambient R&B sounds of yesteryears to today's new soul experience, you are now inside the Soul Lounge.
Born and raised in and inspired by one of the most diverse cities in the U.S., the artist that you're about to hear has found a way to meld all of those influences into a unique and gorgeous form of music that is impossible to categorize. I was blown away when I first heard her, and I guarantee you will be as well. My name is The Lady DJ, and welcome to the Soul Lounge. It is my pleasure to introduce you to Aquia Aldridge.
So
Aquia, welcome to the Soul Lounge.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad that you're here.
I am too.
Well, okay. Congratulations on the new album, Soul Singer.
Yes.
Now let me tell you a story. We've been connected on Facebook some time, and I knew you were a singer, and it wasn't until someone came and slammed the CD down on desk, you've got to listen to this CD.
Oh man,
and I instantly fell in love with it, and that's when I gave you a call, and I said, I gotta get you inside the VIP room.
Thank you. I'm so honored.
And let me tell you, this is my introduction to you, but you've released quite a bit of music before. Mm-hmm. So my thought was that, oh, okay, she's a soul artist, but no, you're a jazz musician, but you're kind of declaring yourself a soul singer. So help us with this.
Well, the name of the album came about because I'm one of those people who does, like you said, I meld all kinds of genres together because that's just how I was raised. My dad is a jazz musician, but I grew up with, my mother loved R&B and soul, and you know, I'm from DC, so you get the go-go. I'm part of the hip-hop generation, so it's all in there, and it's easy for people to get confused when they see me at a concert and say, okay, she's a jazz vocalist, but she's real soulful. So, you know, and I feel like as a musician and as an artist, my job is to kind of speak to people's spirits. So that's why I say I'm just a soul singer. I'm a soul singer in whatever genre I find myself in. My bass is jazz, but I'm speaking to your soul.
Yeah, coming from the soul,
yes,
which is why I think
absolutely
that the songs really resonate.
Yeah, I know they did with me,
awesome, certainly. Yeah. Now, I know a lot of artists don't like to be categorized. Are you one of those that tries to stay away from that? Are you comfortable?
I'm pretty comfortable. I think it's more uncomfortable for other people.
Okay.
Because I think folks need to be able to label you so they know where to put you, where to categorize you. I think most listeners, though, just listen for the art. I don't think they listen for, oh, is this jazz? Is this hip hop? What is this? I think they just enjoy the music. So, you know, I'm cool with being called a jazz vocalist. I was trained as a jazz vocalist. That's my base. That's my foundation.
Okay.
But I pull from everywhere. I'm kind of a Pan-African sounds, and you're going to hear that R&B and the blues and some rock and roll every once in a while. So that's me, yeah. Categories?
Okay, that's fair, that's fair. We're going to get back to some of those international influences, but mm-hmm. I want to talk about your training because you have a degree from mm-hmm. Howard University in jazz vocals.
Yes, jazz studies in my undergrad, and then I went back for my master's in social work.
I wanted to talk to you about that because when I read that in your bio, I said, now that was an interesting decision. Was that because you were going to step away from music, or did you think it would help you in your music?
Actually, it was because I was stepping away and I felt like I needed another career. At that time, I wasn't comfortable going out to be a solo jazz vocalist. And I felt like the music business would have kind of swallowed me up. So I wanted to be married. I wanted to have kids and I wanted to have a family, and I didn't feel like that was really the place for me to do it in the music business. So I stopped. I went back to school, got my social work degree in mental health, which is something I'm really passionate about anyway. And down the line, got married, had kids, and my husband said, you gotta sing. You gotta do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, 8 years later, I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it. They banned smoking in clubs. So I was like, okay, I'm game. I'm going to do it.
Was that an issue for you?
The
whole smoky jazz
club? I didn't
want to
be the lonely vocalist in a smoky jazz club drinking a whiskey. I just didn't see myself doing that.
Okay.
I didn't want to do that. Some folks, they have the heart to do that. It just wasn't me.
Okay.
So they lifted that, you know, they banned smoking. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll I'll try this.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense. We had an artist named Kenya in recently, mm-hmm. and she talked about stepping away from the music, and she said that there was just something inside of her, like she kind of fell into a depression not doing it because the calling was so great.
Yeah.
Did you feel a sense, that sense, or was it just kind of easy for you to move back and forth?
Well, I would do backgrounds here and there, so I stayed a little bit connected, but there was always a drive to perform on my own. I've always, because I grew up in a big family, I've always been really, really prone to being in a group.
Okay.
And as a solo vocalist, as a solo jazz vocalist, you're not really going to get that group vibe. People are kind of like, I'll play for you, but group, I don't know. So, it took a while for me to really figure out how to present myself. And as soon as I said, okay, I'm gonna do it, things just opened up. You know, my friends from school really stepped up and helped me open some doors to perform in different clubs around the city. And people just really responded wonderfully. I'm just blessed. I'm blessed for that.
Yeah. And you mentioned that your father was a jazz musician.
Yes.
And that, so I'm assuming you grew up with a lot of different kinds of jazz, or was he into standards? I mean, what did you hear mostly at home?
No, my dad was definitely a free jazz, kind of Pan-African, kind of righteous, you know?
Okay.
Hard to struggle music. So it was very free. So I was raised with not just having an ear for the technicalities of music, but having yourself be open spiritually to receive the music and to give it back. And you know, music and performance is a cyclical action. It is an experience for everybody. It's not just me performing. Mm-hmm. So me having that from him really gave me the opportunity, I think, to perform for people today in a way that I can really have a great relationship with the audience. And I think they appreciate that. You know, I connect with them. That's part of my thing. I really want to connect with the people who are there for me.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you, one of the songs that really connected with me, and anyone who's listened to the show knows that I am a huge love song fan. I'm such a sappy romantic. So the first song, when I heard Take My Time, I thought, oh my God, that's such a beautiful song.
Yay.
Oh, because she's singing at my wedding. It's such a beautiful song. But, you know, in lieu of that, would you mind performing that for us?
I think it would be great. Absolutely. It's an original of mine. And it's one of my favorites as well. So I hope you enjoy it.
can hold each image of you, every pore. I wanna be with you.
Aquia, so you mentioned that your dad was a major influence as a jazz musician, mm-hmm. and the music that you heard in the house influenced you. I'm going to assume, just based on some of the tribute concerts you've done over the last few years, that two women in particular mean very much to you, and that would be Nina Simone,
yes,
the great Nina Simone, of course, mm-hmm. and Marian Makeba.
Absolutely.
So talk to me a little bit about how those women have inspired you.
Well, they are both they were both mainstays in my home, and musically, but also they represented something huge that my parents raised me with, and that's social activism and really standing up for African people's rights all over the world. If people don't know already, Marian Makeba was a huge advocate for South African people during apartheid. So she would go around the world and speak about it, and she would speak out about it. She went to the UN and really urged them to go and do some work there. But she was also vocal in the social activism in the U.S. The two of them actually connected, and I think were good friends. Mm-hmm. And Nina Simone, everybody knows Nina Simone. She was a bad somebody. And she spoke out, you know, even to the detriment of her career oftentimes. But, she, you know, when she saw something was wrong, she had to do something about it. And that is something that my parents raised me with, that there's no such thing as art for art's sake. Mm-hmm. If you're an artist, your job is to speak for people who don't have a voice. And you speak for the social times, you know. Sometimes that involves speaking about love. You have to speak about love to give people that sweetness. But you also got to speak about freedom and what's going on. It's difficult to acknowledge that a lot of stuff that they fought for is still stuff that we're fighting for today. But at the same time, it's important for people like myself to be real about it and say, okay, I'm not going to stand by and watch this happen and not speak about it and figure out a way to help bring out solutions for it.
Mm. Bringing up Nina Simone, one of the things that I found really interesting about her is that when she began to speak up during the civil rights struggle, mm-hmm. She appeared from the outside to kind of lose balance a little bit. She just sort of threw herself into mm-hmm. it completely. How do you do that? Because that, as an artist and then as an activist, that is so easy because both yeah. require passion,
absolutely.
Large amounts of passion. Mm-hmm. And you have a husband,
yes,
and children,
yes.
So how do you maintain that balance?
Well, you said it just there. My husband and my children, they are my balance. They ground me. I'm also a teacher. Mm. So, you know, kids have a way of bringing you right back to earth. Like, hold on, I need my bottom changed. So can you get off your pedestal real quick and come and take care of this? So me teaching and me really having to take care of my kids and my husband is just my rock, you know. So when I get to that place, and like you said, as an artist, passion is a part of what you do. And if you don't have it, you probably need to stop. Mm. So, you know, and like you said, when Nina Simone got into the activism, it was everything in her that went in. And it's difficult not to do that. Yeah. You know, it's difficult not to just lose yourself in the music or in whatever you're working on. But if you have that support system like I do, I'm so blessed to have my family, my mom and my dad still looking at me side-eyed like, you sure you gonna do that? So, and my sister pulling me on back, it's a little extra. So, you know, I have them to really keep me grounded and level-headed.
Now, is that why you stayed here in D.C.? Because you're born in D.C., but
yeah.
I mean, this isn't New York. This isn't Paris.
Right,
you know, we're not
right.
known for jazz necessarily.
Right. Which is strange because we have a serious history here.
Sure, of course.
Jazz
yeah.
and music. It's a serious foundation here in D.C. But yeah, I'm here because I am married with children and I am a teacher and administrator at my parents' school. So it's like, I'm stuck here.
Gotcha.
I am rooted here. And it's important to have a base and have a strong base. And this is my support system. So like now I'm doing my Soul Singer tour and it is based around me and my life. So I'm going to North Carolina. I'm going to New York and you know, I'm going to these different places, but I always come right back home
yeah.
and I can breathe.
Yeah. Now, your dad worked on the project?
Yes.
Did he? I saw
yes.
that in the liner notes.
Yes.
Did he? How did he participate?
He did a solo on one of my originals called Red Bark.
Okay.
Yeah, his name is Ajay Okoto, and I had to pull him in there. It was like pulling teeth. Daddy, please, I need you to do this solo on this.
Yeah, is this the first time that you all have worked together on a
yes,
project?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm really, really excited
oh,
about
wow.
it. Yeah.
Okay, and your brother is actually
yes.
part of your band
yep.
as well, so
mm-hmm.
he's playing the
yep.
congas,
he's playing
right?
congas on there, yep.
Okay.
Ajay Osei, and he's playing the congas on there. Chris Fun is also on there. He was musical director for this album, and he's here with me today playing bass. On keys was Warren Wolf, and on drums was Corey Fonville. These are all absolutely amazing musicians. I also had a brother named Farai Malianga on cajon, and I had the pleasure of having Nicholas Payton grace us with his presence on the album as well.
Yeah.
And Brent Burkhead is on flutes and saxophone.
It's a beautiful album.
Yeah, thank
it's a gorgeous
you.
Album. Okay, before I let you go, I typically ask every artist three questions.
Okay.
And they're pretty easy, so we're going to do that. let's imagine it is like a Sunday afternoon. I don't know what you do. You've got kids and a husband. You're probably cleaning the house. That's what I'm doing, right? You know what I mean? So you're vacuuming, dusting. What are you playing in the background to kind of keep you motivated to get all that done?
Oh, what am I listening to in the background? Right now, I am so into Leanne LaHavas.
I don't know Leanne. Okay.
You got to look her up. I love her stuff. She has a new album out. Her and always Nina Simone. Mary McCabe, Bill Withers.
Oh,
Bill Withers.
Bill Withers, yes.
Big Bill Withers fan.
Yes.
Stevie.
Okay, of course.
Yeah, it keeps
okay.
you moving.
Okay, all right, okay. All right, so I don't know, it's Saturday night, the grandkids have the babies, it's you and your husband, you all are all out on a date, you come
uh-huh.
home, nice romantic evening. What are you playing?
What are we playing? What do we like to listen to together? He likes to listen to me. I don't so much.
Okay. I know he likes to listen to that one song
yes.
called Take My Time.
Take My Time. Yes, of course. Also, we're big Bilal fans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we love his music. And Bob Marley, John Coltrane, you know, mm-hmm. we span the gamut in my house. We just go in. And as a matter of fact, my husband is the one who gives me, like, the new people to listen to. Babe, listen to this.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, I'm assuming he was a music fan. You knew that when you met.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Big
that would have been hard,
fan.
Huh?
Yeah, that would have been a problem. He tells a story that when he saw me perform at my senior recital, that's when he knew he was going to marry me.
Aww.
I said, yeah, okay, whatever. You're still acting up. He was still acting
well,
up.
Well, he got you, though.
Yeah. Well.
Well, good. Okay, final question. You know, we all have times when we're down
mm-hmm.
and we just need something to kind of lift us out of that space.
Mm.
Is there a specific artist or genre or anything that you listen to that kind of brings you out of a dark place if ever you find yourself there?
Well, I'm an artist, so I'm complicated, but I have to start with Nina Simone.
Okay.
Right in there, Wild as the Wind, I have to sit down and just lay on the couch and listen to that. And then I got to go listen to Mahalia Jackson.
Okay.
How I Got Over, you know, Precious Lord, all that. That was my grandmother's favorite, one of my mama's favorite. And that always brings me out of it. But those two, and then I got to go to Stevie and Bob Marley to lift my spirits up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. We have a lot in common then.
Okay.
Regard. Well, Aquia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is a wonderful album, Soul Singer, and congratulations on it. And
thank
I wish you the best. And before I let you go, though, I definitely want you to get back up and give us another cut from the album. So, and while she gets ready to do that, I want to thank you so much for being here with us inside the Soul Lounge. And I can't wait to talk to you again. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other. Bye-bye.
Შირიც წარმატებული პროექტი.
That the Nobel Peace Prize for 2012 to the European Union.
Რასურ საქართველოს ევროპულ სტრუქტურებში ინტეგრაცია.
ხარი დაუჭერ ჩვენი ქვეყნის ევროპულ მოვალს, იმისაც რომ ჩვენი ქვეყანა გახდეს თანამედროვე, ძლიერი ევროპული სახელმწიფო.
ამდა სხვა საკითხებზე ვსაუბრობთ პროგრამა ახალ ევროპაში ყოველ სამშაბათს. ჩვენს მინდა ციხშირეზე FM 107.4 და სხვა ციხშირეებზე. რადიო თავისუფლება.